Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm thankful, I'm grateful, and I'm blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. You know, many of you who have been with me for a long time know Evangelist Shannon, who is a contributor as well as a friend of this show. Minister Shannon, as you know, many of us have prayed for her grandchild, a miracle baby. Well, God called her home on yesterday, a long struggle for life. And what we do here is we pray. As many know, we are a praying show. We believe in the power of prayer, and we know that God is in charge of everything, and that it is when it is our time, it is our time. And age is, I believe that children, babies, and he will not allow his little ones to go through. I, of course, as many know, lost my own great-grandson some weeks ago. So this is hard to talk about. But I know that God was in charge, is in charge, and will always be in charge. And that my grandson was special to God. On his passing, he had a cross appear across his forehead. But I'm talking about Evangelist Shannon's granddaughter, Miracle. And so we pray this morning for her parents, for her grandparents, and we ask God to give them strength. Because this baby, fought the good fight. And God has called her home to give her rest. Heavenly Father, God in heaven, we come to you this morning with humble hearts of adoration, God, knowing that all things work for good because we are called according to your purpose, God. And Lord God, you have called this beautiful baby home. And we ask you to give her parents strength, to give her mother and her father peace, to know that you gave them all this time with this beautiful child. And that you called her home because you do not want her to be in pain. You do not want her to suffer anymore. No surgeries. No more. But she is at peace. Father God, I ask you to watch over her family, her siblings, and to give them all strength, God. For this little girl was loved more than anything. And she was a miracle. She was a miracle to have been in this world long as she was, giving her parents strength, understanding, love and caring, showing her siblings what it is to be a wonderful, wonderful person. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, I lift up the family. I lift up my sister in Christ, asking you to watch over her and give her strength. For we know, Lord God, that she is a praying woman, and she has already reached all the heaven's height, all the way to you, God. And that she has already given it all to you, God. And so, Father God, I thank you. I thank you for the time that this family had with this beautiful baby. I thank you, Lord, that you have called your beautiful children home, that they will not have to deal with the strifes of this world, with all the things that are going on that are not like you, God. You're calling them home, and I thank you, God, for watching over our babies. And I ask you, Lord God, to please, 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 please protect them from all hurt, harm, and danger. But, Lord God, we know the enemy is after the children, but he can't have your children. And so, Father God, I lift up, I believe, and I trust in you. I have hope in you, God, that all things are in your awesome and mighty hands. And I know, God, that you will never give us more than we can handle. And so, Lord God, as we go through this lesson today, may we never forget that you were always there. You were with the Israelites, and you were with Paul, and you are with us. Lord God, we ask you to guide us and lead us in the way that we should go, that we will walk in righteousness, we will walk in hope, we will walk in love. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, I lift up this word to you, Lord God. And I ask, as I ask every day, Lord God, that you increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart, Lord God, be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord, are my strength. You are my redeemer. And I humbly give myself away for you to use me this morning, that your word will go forth and that it will go forth the next week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. For those that are just joining us, as many know, we have prayed over the months for a little girl named Miracle. Miracle has passed on as of yesterday. And we have lifted up her family. And we ask God to give them understanding and to know that all things are going to work for the good of this family. And that this little girl came into the world to bring them closer together and to give them lots and lots of love and smiles. But she was a beautiful little baby. And so we just ask God to watch over her grandmother and her mother and father and her siblings. And so we're just thankful. We're thankful that God gives us grace and that he gives us hope and that he gives us all kind of love. Today that my sister in Christ is a woman of God and that she is a praying woman of God and that she is there for her family. So I thank God for everything that is going for today. We are still in the book of Ezra. We will be in Ezra chapter 9 and 10. This morning will be in the 88th Psalm, verses 6 through 10. Our proverb this morning is the 21st proverb, verses 23 through 24. And again, when we talk about words in proverbs, you can take a proverb word and put it in the headlines because whatever is going on today, you believe me, you will find in the proverbs. And our Acts for today is Acts, the 24th chapter of Acts, verses 1 through 27. And we do have some life lessons. We do have what the Bible says. And we do have our prayer from our 365 this morning. And our prayer for today is compassionately. Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things. Mark 6:34 in the King James. Lord, your heart of kindness toward me is incomprehensible. You deal with me so gently. You see my great need and rush to meet it. You do not use intimidation or scare tactics. Fear is not a force you use to keep me in line. You are so much better than the rulers of this world. Even the best ones fall short in wisdom and loving kindness. You teach me, Lord, of a heart of compassion, wanting me to really know you. Thank you, Lord, for modeling sympathetic responsiveness. You don't hold signs that condemn me. You love me to life with your welcoming, warm embrace. Excuse me. And a voice that kindly reminds me who I am. May I be rooted and grounded in this kind of mercy, operating in the same way that you do. When I am tempted to respond to others with quick judgment or dismissal, remind me how you never do that with me, and fill my heart with compassion. When was the last time compassion moved you to do something? When was the last time compassion moved you to do something? We must trust God, and we must love him, because he loves us without condition. Let's get into our word this morning, family. And again, we are coming out of Ezra chapter 9 through chapter 10, verse 44. And our psalm for this morning is the 88th psalm, verses 6 through 10, Proverbs chapter 21, verses 23 through 24, and Acts chapter 24, verses 1 through 27. And it says in our word this morning, when these things were done, the leaders came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the land with respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Egyptians, and the Amorites. But they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, so that the holy seed is mixed with the people of those lands. Indeed, the land of the leaders and rulers has been foremost in this trespass. So when I heard this thing, I tore my garments and my robe, and I plucked out some of the hair of my head and beard and sat down astonished. This is Ezra speaking. Then everyone who trembled at the words of the God of Israel assembled to me because of the transgression of those who had been carried away captive. And I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. At the evening sacrifice, I arose from my fasting, and having torn my garments and my robe, I fell on my knees and spread out my hands to the Lord my God. And I said, oh, my God, I am too ashamed and humiliated to lift up my face to you, my God. For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has grown up to the heavens. Since the days of our fathers to this day, we have been very guilty. Our iniquities, we, our kings, and our priests have been delivered into the hand of the kings of the land, to the sword, to captivity, to plunder, and to humiliation as it is this day. And now, for a little while, grace has been shown from the Lord our God, to leave us a remnant to escape, to give us a pig in his holy place, that our God may enlighten our eyes and give us a measure of revival in our bondage. For we were slaves, yet our God did not forsake us in our bondage, but he extended mercy to us in the sight of the kings of Persia, to revive us, to repair the house of our God, to rebuild it, ruins, and to give us a wall in Judah and Jerusalem. And now, O our God, What shall we say after this? For we have forsaken your commandments, which you commanded by your servants the prophets, saying, the land which you are entering to possess is an unclean land, with the uncleanliness of the peoples of the land, with their abominations, which have filled it from one end to the another, with their impurity. Now, therefore, do not give your daughters as wives for their sons, nor take their daughters to your sons. Never seek peace or prosperity, that you may be strong and eat the good of the land, and leave it as an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us for our evil deeds and for our great guilt, since you, our God, have punished us less than our iniquities deserve and have given us such deliverance as this, should we again break your commandments and join in marriage with the people committing these abominations? Would you not be angry with us until you have consumed us, so that there would be no remnant or survivor? Lord God of Israel, you are righteous, but we are left as a remnant, as it is this day. Here we are before you in our guilt, so no one can stand before you because of this. He still is the God of hope. He still is the God of our hope. They knew that they had done wrong. We know that in the beginning, in the Exodus, in Deuteronomy, in Numbers, in Leviticus, the Lord God told us not to marry into these lands and to these people. But they did it anyway. Not that they were pure to begin with, because they also were Canaanites at some point in time. But God set Israel apart. He set them apart. But we understand that he said, no, do not, when you go back into this land, don't get involved with these people. But they did anyway. Ezra, it broke him down to know he has gone through all this stuff to come back and see this. And that it's not just anybody. It's the people in the highest positions in the land that have done these things. The Levites, the priests, the leaders. And it's broken. But let's keep going. Let's see what he's praying me. And I say to all my ladies out there that I'm married, God, ask God to send you a man that will pray for you, a man that will lift you up, a man that will be there for you, who will know that you are his good thing. Don't settle for just anybody. Wait on the Lord. And that's what we must do. We must wait on God to send the one for you. Because God loves you like that. He cares about you like that. And he wants you to be the best you can be. And he does not want you to be a tail and not a head. He don't want you to be below and not above. You are wonderfully made. To my men out there, my unmarried men, don't settle. Find your good thing. A woman that will pray for you. A woman that will lift you up. And a woman of God. One that was already of God before you ever met her. Because you cannot change anybody. Remember that. Well, I like her. She's so sweet. She's so good. She's boom, bam, bam. No. Does she love God? Does she worship? Does she go to church? Does she read her word? What does she do for the Lord? Have a compassionate heart. Think of those things. Don't just settle. And I'm speaking to all that I'm married out there. I don't know why that happened or where it came from, but God told me to say what I said. You know, don't settle. Don't go to the abominations. Don't go to find that one for you in the places where God is not. even though we know God is everywhere, but we're talking that place where you're going to find the one that loves God. And that's what you want, a woman that loves God, because if she loves God, she's going to love you. Hallelujah. Chapter 10 of Ezra. Now while Ezra was praying and while he was confessing, weeping and bowing down before the house of God, a very large assembly of men, women, and children gathered to him from Israel. But the people wept very bitterly. And Shechaniah, the son of Jael, one of the sons of Elam, spoke up and said to Ezra, we have trespassed against our God and have taken pagan wives from the peoples of the land. Yet now there is hope in Israel in spite of this. Now, therefore, let us make a covenant with our God to put away all these wives and those who have been born to them, according to the advice of my master and of those who tremble at the commandment of our God. And let us be done according to the law. Arise, for this matter is your responsibility. We also are with you. Be of good courage and do it. Now, can you imagine being one of the wives with children and being put aside by somebody because some little man said that you weren't supposed to have me as your wife? Now, you done loved me all these years. I done been with you all these years. I done been through thick, thin, and everything else with you. These are your children, and you're going to put us aside because some little man come back from captivity talking about we ain't supposed to be together. Can you imagine what kind of conversations are going on in these households? And then let's keep it going because, like I said, you're thinking this is some hateful stuff. But if they are taking them down a road of paganism and doing things that are not of God, then they do have to put them aside. And it's hard to say that. But let's see what it says. Then Ezra arose and made the leaders of the priests, the Levites, and all Israel swear an oath that they would do according to this word. So they swore an oath, and Ezra rose up from before the house of God and went into the chamber of Johanan, the son of Elishareb, and when he came there, he ate no bread, drank no water, for he moaned because of the guilt of those from the captivity. And they issued a proclamation throughout Judah and Jerusalem to all the descendants of the captivity that they must gather at Jerusalem, and that whoever would not come within 3 days, according to the instructions of the leaders and elders, all his property would be confiscated, and he himself would be separated from the assembly of those from the captivity. So all the men of Judah and Benjamin gathered at Jerusalem within 3 days. It was the ninth month on the 12th, and all the people sat in the open square of the house of God, trembling because of this manner and because of heavy rain. Then Ezra the priest stood up and said to them, you have transgressed and have taken pagan wives, adding to the guilt of Israel. Now therefore make confession to the Lord God of your father and do his will. Separate yourselves from the peoples of the land and from the pagan wives. Then all the assembly answered with a loud voice, yes, as you have said, so we must do. But there are many people. It is the season for heavy rain, and we are not able to stand outside. Nor is this the work of 1 or 2 days, for there are many of us who have transgressed in this manner. Please let the leaders of our entire assembly stand, and let all those in our cities who have taken pagan wives come at appointed times together with the elders and judges of their cities until the fierce wrath of our God is turned away from us in this manner. Only Jonathan, the son of Ashiel, and Jahaziah, the son of Tikva, opposed this, and Meshullam, Shabbatai, the Levite, gave them support. Then the descendants of the captivity did so, and Ezra the priest, with certain heirs of the father's household, were set apart by the father's household, each of them by name. And they sat down on the first day of the 10th month to examine the matter. By the first day of the first month, they finished questioning all the men who had taken pagan wives. And among the sons of the priests who had taken pagan wives, the following were found of the sons of Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and his brothers, Mahishiah, Eleazar, Jerib, Gedaliah, and they gave their promise that they would put away their wives. And being guilty, they presented a ram of the flock as their trespass offering. Also the sons of Immer, Hanani, and Zebadiah, of the sons of Hiram, Mashiah, Elijah, Shemaiah, Jael, and Uzziah, of the sons of Pushar, Elonai, Meshadiah, Ishmael, Nethanel, Josabad, and Elisha, also of the Levites, Josabad, Shimei, Kaliah, the same is Kalita, Petahiah, Judah, and Eliza, also the singer, Ishaib, of the gatekeeper, Shalom, Tilam, and Uri, the others of Israel, the sons of Porosh, Ramiah, Desiah, Micaiah, Majem, Eliza, Malchijah, Benani, of the sons of Elam, Methaniah, Zechariah, Jael, Abdi, Jeremoth, Eliah, of the sons of Zetu, Elonai, Isha, Methaniah, Jeremoth, Zebad, Isaiah, of the sons of Bibai, Johanan, Hananiah, Zibai, and Ethela, of the sons of Benai, Mishlam, Miluk, Adadai, Jehab, Shal, and Ramoth, of the sons of Peth, Moab, Adna, Shelah, Menaniah, Mishiah, Mananiah, Baziel, Benu, and Manasseh, of the sons of Hiram, Elijah, Isaiah, Eljiah, Shemaiah, Shimeon, Benjamin, Moloch, Shemariah, of the sons of Hashem, Methani, Methah, Zabad, Eliphelet, Jeremiah, Manasseh, and Shimei, of the sons of Midai, Amram, Uel, Benaniah, Bediah, Shelah, Benai, Miramoth, Eshib, Methaniah, Menani, Jesai, Benai, Benu, Shemai, Shelemiah, Nathan, Adadiah, Mekbai, Shai, Shari, Azrael, Shelemiah, Shemariah, Shalom, Amariah, and Joseph, of the sons of Nebo, Jael, Methaniah, Zibad, Sabina, Jada, Joel, and Benaniah. All of these had taken pagan wives, and some of them had wives by whom they had children. Wow. That's some rough stuff. All these men married to pagan wives with possible children that they have to give up. But for God, they'll do it. Because they know that the Lord is their hope, that God is the God of hope, and he loves them, and that he will take care of these women. He will take care of these children. But they have to set themselves apart. And these are sons of priests. These are sons of Levites. These are not just anybody. These are the men that have to go and go before God. And they can't go before God having done pagan things with pagan women, taking them off their holy square. And I'm just calling it like it is. We already know what happens when good men fall for bad women. All you have to say is the name Solomon. Way, because he chose pagan wives. And he destroyed Israel with it, divided the kingdom because of pagan wives. And you want to say, that just don't sound right. And in today's world, it probably is not. But in the world that they lived in at that time, they did not have a choice. They had to do what thus says the Lord. And for my theologian brothers and sisters out there, if I'm off course, don't hesitate to call 213-943-3597, and we can discuss it, because we want to be right and righteous with whatever it is we say on this show. And if I am off kilter, tell me. You know, and as we continue in our word this morning from the 88th Psalm, verses 6 through 10, you have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your ways. Selah, you have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I cannot get out. My eyes waste away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Selah. And I'm sure that that's how some of these men were feeling, knowing that they had to set aside their wives, that they had to let go. You know, and this is a psalm of one of the sons of Korah, the chief musician, set in the Menonah, a contemplation of Heman the Ezraite. So it's a contemplation psalm. He's like, I am messed up from the blow up, pretty much. You know, and he's like, Lord, help me. Can the dead call for you? You know, he's like, listen, Lord, I've called on you daily. I've stretched out my hands to you, and I'm sure there are many of us that feel like the afflictions. Like, Lord, will you please take this away? Will you please give me a voice to sing, a voice to speak? Will you take whatever is going on in my bronchial tubes? Will you please heal them and take this mess away so I can talk clearly? Again, everything is for a purpose and a reason. I may sound hoarse, but I'm fine. I know that I'm healed. Speak it. I am healed. I am set free. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we come to this, the proverb today, all you have to do is open up a paper, open up a headline on the news. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. You got folks that don't know how to guard their mouth, don't know how to speak and how to shut up. Not even speak, just shut up. Just be quiet, committed to sit still instead of creating confusion. You got it all over. Just creating confusion all over the country. Got folks hating each other over stupid. Wrong is wrong, right is right. And because of political party, you have folks that are making wrong right and right wrong because their political leader has done some wrong stuff. But they don't want to speak that. They want to lie it out. We can't lie out what is the truth. The truth is the truth. A lie is a lie. Wrong is wrong. Right is right. Period. Period. And we got to stop being silly and then trying to guise it up as godly. We got to understand God is in charge of everything. And we have to stand on the will of God. You cannot take God's word and make it what it's not. God's word is God's word. And everything that is happening is because God is allowing it. And God will pull the covers off of stuff. God will show up and show out. But he's trying to tell you something. We've got to trust God. You got to trust God. You got to put your hope in the Lord. Because he loves us, and he will never do anything to hurt us. He wants to get our attention. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from trouble. Behind the teeth, if you don't have anything good to say. And it tells a proud and haughty man, scoffers is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. See it every day. How many times Can you turn on the news? How many times can you go online? How many times do you see these type of people? A proud and haughty man, scoffer, is his name. He acts with arrogant pride. And we know that pride comes before a fall. God is about to do some stuff. Get ready. Don't get your feelings hurt. Understand, God don't play, and he will not be mocked. He will not be mocked. If you put somebody on a pedestal and you make them higher than God, you better understand they're going to fall. Because there's only one God, and he is the God of hope. He is the God of our hope. He is the God of love. He is the God of peace and joy. He is our Heavenly Father, and he created everything. And when we give it over to him, we don't worry about all the other stuff. Give it to God, whatever the situation is, whether it's your health, whether it's your finances, whatever, your children, your great-grandkids even, and some great-greats, whatever it is, give it to God and watch him work. He will never leave you or forsake you. We stand on his word. And as we go into our New Testament, it has been now taken to Felix. And we know that, you know, in our word on Friday, on yesterday, his nephew came across some folks, 40 men who had decided they was taking a vow of not eating or drinking. They was a vow of fasting, basically, until they could kill Paul. His nephew heard it. His nephew reported it. They got Paul out, and now he's with, going to be with Felix. But Paul understands. He is not afraid. He is not afraid. He knows his assignment, and he knows he's going to have to go to Rome. And as we go back, it says, and after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, came down with the elders and certain orator named Tertullus. These gave evidence to the governor against Paul. You know, because they were trying to get Paul to come to them so they could, but now they got to come to Felix's and stand before the Romans and accuse Paul. And it says, and when he had called upon Tertullus, began his accusation, saying, seeing that we enjoy great peace and prosperity is being brought to this nation. To your foresight, we accept it always and in all places, most notable Felix, with all thankfulness. Nevertheless, not to be tedious to you any further, I beg you to hear by your courtesy a few words from us. For we have found creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, and we seized him and wanted to judge him according to our law. But the commander Lysias came by and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come to you. By examining him yourself, you may ascertain all these things of which we accuse him. And the Jews also assented, maintaining that these things were so. Then Paul, after the governor had nodded to him to speak, answered, inasmuch as I know that you have been for many years a judge of this nation, I do the more cheerfully answer for myself, because you may ascertain that it is no more than 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship, and they neither found me in the temple disputing with anyone nor inciting the crowd, either in the synagogue or in the city, nor can they prove the things of which they now accuse me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. I have hope in God. Hallelujah. That's our title this morning. I have hope. They themselves also accept that there will be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. This means, so I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. You better preach, Brother Paul. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumults. They ought to have been here before you to object if they had anything against me, or else let those who are here themselves say if they found any wrongdoing in me while I stood before the council, unless it is for this one statement which I cried out standing among them concerning the resurrection of the dead. I am being judged by you this day. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep off and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide or for a visit or to visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left 2 years in jail, but free, if that makes any sense. Paul ministered. He ministered. He didn't let incarceration stop him from ministering. He didn't let incarceration stop him from speaking truth to power. Now, these Jewish folks, and we're talking Jews by religion, you know, didn't like calling the Nazarenes. And Paul made it clear, we're the way. We're not Nazarenes, we're the way, the truth, and the life. We all understand they were followers of Christ. They were followers of the Word. They were followers of God. And he had put his hope in God. Paul didn't lie. He didn't have to lie. His truth was his truth, and his truth was from God. When you got to lie to accuse people, you're not doing right. And you're not doing anything for God. You're doing it for power. You're doing it for power. And that's what this was all about. This was a power struggle. These people that they considered less than were following after this upstart named Jesus, who said he was the Son of God, and who we know is the Son of God. But if we say he's the Son of God, we're messing up our power structure. We're messing up what we got going on with the Romans. We can't let this little upstart do that. And his followers, we got to get rid of them. We got to quash this thing. But guess what? We didn't get quashed. Still here. Still proclaiming Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're still speaking the same way. We know who our Savior is. We know that he died. We know he rose on the third day. We know that he ascended into heaven and that he sits on the right hand of the Father and that he is covering us with his blood every day. Hallelujah. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. Hallelujah. We got to say yes. Our hope in God. Can't give up who we are because somebody don't believe in our Jesus. I believe in Jesus, and I know who he is because he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. Hallelujah. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. We got to have that. I have, as Dr. Stanley, a clear conscience. And what the Bible says about it, when you're tempted to do the wrong thing, do you listen to your, or do you just ignore it and keep going? Although sometimes it will seem as people are acting without a conscience. We all have one. Our conscience is a gift of God that we should care for and give great attention to, because it is given to us for our own protection. Every day, face decisions that involve our conscience, and it sends us red flags when we're about to do something wrong. When our conscience speaks and we ignore it, it's like taking a knife and dulling the edges. It becomes ineffective. If we disregard it enough, we'll make a shipwreck of our life. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And we're going to go there real quick. Join me in the New Testament. First Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. And it says, now we're going to go actually to verse 16. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Understand. As we continue, it says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. This is Paul speaking to Timothy. According to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding forth in a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. He understood. And it tells us, so I'm going back, it becomes ineffective if we disregard it enough. We'll make a shipwreck of our life, which means that we will have a disaster of a Christian life. That's when we are most vulnerable to false doctrines and sin. And it's why people throughout the centuries have worshipped all kinds of things. What's happened is their belief system has disappeared. In order to quiet their conscience, they've changed the way they think. They've deliberately chosen to exchange the truth of God for a lie. In it every day. However, no one is going to get away with that. God will allow their heart to be given over to darkness. Whoever violates the laws of God will suffer the consequences. Is it safe then to let our conscience be our guide? Not really. It all depends upon how our conscience has been programmed. Has it been programmed with the Word of God? When the Word of God becomes the grid of truth that protects our conscience, then we know we can respond in the right way. This is because the Holy Spirit enables us to understand the truth and will guide us to do the right thing. That's what we do. We give it to God. You know, you may have a situation, whatever that situation is, you give it to God. And God handles it. He always does. And you don't have to be honored. You don't have to be nasty. You don't have to be unkind. You just have to be you, a child of God. And God handles everything. Because, however, understand that the Holy Spirit isn't your conscience. A person has a conscience. That's why they are people who know right from wrong, even though they aren't Christians. Only those who receive Jesus as their Savior have the Holy Spirit. Catch that. Catch that. As a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit. But there are those that are kind and good that are not Christians. They don't know Jesus. They haven't been saved, set free, set aside. But they're good people. Because they have a good conscience. And those are people, once they get to know Jesus, that you better watch out, because they're going to be powerful. Good already. And he says, however, understand that the Holy Spirit isn't your conscience. Every person has a conscience. That's why there are people who know right from wrong, even though they aren't Christians. Yet only those who receive Jesus as their Savior have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in conjunction with our conscience and works to strengthen us and teach us the truth. We know we can dull our conscience, but the good news is that we can also make it stronger. Paul said, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. How do we do that? We program ourselves with the absolute truth of God's word. God's way is the best way. It's the only way to find happiness, peace, joy, and eternal security. We have to have his word and his spirit in our defense. Are you going to take heed of your conscience? Are you going to listen to what God is saying to you? Or are you going to do everything your way? Your conscience is a gift of God to protect you, so you should take good care of it. Therefore, get in the word of God. Obey the leading of the Spirit. Make sure that you program your grid system based on God's truth and strengthen your conscience by seeking God. Then you too will have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Wow, what a word. And as we go to some life lessons, it says this in Acts 24:14, I worship the God of my fathers, believe in all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Paul did not see the Christian faith as an alternative to his Jewish upbringing, but as a fulfillment of it. He worshiped the same God he always had and had complete faith in the same scriptures. And that's what we have to understand, that as far as our faith is concerned, we are still worshiping the same God. We're still worshiping the same scriptures, the same laws and the prophets. Our Christianity did not change the base of what we believe. We believe in Father God. We believe in his holy scripture. We believe in the laws of the prophets. We have to have that belief system. Acts 24:16, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and men. Paul never tried to earn right standing before God, but he did strive to live out the righteousness that God had credited to him through his faith in Jesus. Paul wanted his conduct to reflect well on his Savior, and that is what we as Christians must have. Let our conduct, wherever you go, who you are. You are a child of the Most High God. You are a child of God. You believe in Jesus Christ. You got to show Jesus' love to people. Acts 24:25, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid. It is one thing to discuss theology when it remains abstract, theoretical, and academic. It is quite another when it becomes concrete, close to home, and deeply personal. We've got to make our faith personal. We've got to make our love for God personal. We got to let folks know who we are and that we love God and that we love his people. Hate is not a word of God. We can't hate people. We can't hate. We are a people of love. We are a people of love. We got to be those Corinthian Christians. We got to know who God is. We got to know that God is love. We got to keep that faith that can only come from the Lord. We got to keep that love that only comes from the Lord. We got to know who we are and who we belong to. We got to know that God loves us more than we could ever imagine and more than we could ever think. He's that kind of Father. And he loves us. And he tells us in the word, the way of love. And as I go to First Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And what is charity? It is love. We put our hope in God. We hope in God. We know he's our daddy. And we know he loves us. And I have a word for my sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And a word, as always, is on point, on time, and a great word. Thanking God for this grace. And it says this, pray until your situation changes. Miracles happen every day. So never stop believing God can change things very quickly in your life. Have a meditating Monday, family. And again, when we think on this word, pray until your situation changes. Prayer changes things. Miracles happen every day because we know we put our hope in God. So never stop believing God can change things very quickly in your life. And I believe that he can. And I believe that he will. Thank you so much, family, for listening in. I thank all of you. Continue again, please, praying for Minister Shannon and her family. And continue lifting up the name of Jesus wherever you go. Let those that hear you know who you belong to. And you belong to the family of the Most High. And the blood of his son, Jesus Christ, flows through your veins. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the Lord's mouth. The blood that gives us strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Have a blessed day, family. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours, family. Have a blessed and wonderful day. God is in charge of everything, and he loves you. He bless. It's a wrap.